RTE News understands that a scoping inquiry will soon be established by the government into Michael Shine, a man described by the courts as a prolific sexual offender. Shine worked as a consultant at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda in County Louth between the years 1964 and 1995, and he was convicted of sexually assaulting 9 boys. He was jailed for 3 years in 2019. We can talk now to our political correspondent, Paul Cunningham. Paul, there was a meeting yesterday between the Health Minister and those advocating for patients who say they were abused by Shine as well. What was the outcome of that?
Well, the minister was updating families on her plans, but there was no effective news conference afterwards, and that's because protocol in relation to cabinet dictates that the measures are considered by the ministers first and then the public are updated afterwards, as sometimes those things can change. So what we understand is that the proposals will go to cabinet, which is happening tomorrow, Wednesday, this week, but obviously there can always be some last minute slippage. It could be next week, but as far as we understand, the plan is that it goes tomorrow.
And what is a scoping inquiry, Paul? What might it lead to?
Well, I suppose it's pretty much what it says in the tin. This is an exercise in scoping out or examining what might be looked at in any inquiry, potentially. So it's time-tied. It's going to last for around 16 weeks. And we know that it's going to have a senior counsel to head the exercise. Now, the families are very clear about what they believe it needs to be examined. But as with many inquiries, its length is often determined by its scope and therefore its subsequent terms of reference. So the question is, and the issue, one of the considerations is, it's not just going to be, where are the documentation from state departments or agencies, who might be talking to the inquiry. They're also going to be considering, to try and make sure that it doesn't go on too long. 25 years ago, I sat through the Lindsay Tribunal, which examined how people with haemophilia here became infected with HIV and hepatitis C. And I remember Audrey, a tribunal source, telling me at the time, we want this inquiry to end when people still remember why it was set up. And so that was a nod to some inquiries which had run for years and years. So I think that will be part or a factor in the thinking, just trying to ensure that they're able to get the salient facts, that the right people are spoken to, but that at the same time you get a result that doesn't take too long.
How significant is this development in this particular case, Paul?
I think this is very significant. The families want this inquiry. They know that a scoping exercise is the first step to that, so it is a huge step. But I think to a certain extent, it's only a step. The families will want to see what the outcome of this is before they can be truly satisfied about what is about to take place. So the first step is we find out what goes through cabinet. And then after that, that key thing is, what is it that the senior counsel who undertakes this scoping exercise believes? How effective do they believe it can be, and under what circumstances? So it's a step, it's a big step, but it's not the final step.
We'll hear later from Adrian Riley, CEO of a group who represents people who say they were abused by Michael Shine. I want to talk to you now just about proposals from the Justice Minister, which we think are coming before Cabinet as well this week, Paul. We've been hearing for weeks that he has new proposals relating to how people seeking asylum here are treated. Are those proposals ready now?
It seems to be. Three measures are involved: are tightening the rules around family unifications, increasing the residency requirement for citizenship from 3 to 5 years. In other words, if you've got been given asylum, it means it's now going to be 5 rather than 3 years before you can be naturalised. And then the latest we're hearing about is making applicants pay in certain situations. So asylum seekers will be obliged to contribute between 10 and 40% of their weekly income towards their state accommodation costs. Now, that said, I haven't seen the actual memo itself, so maybe there are additional measures contained in it that we just don't know.
Are there many asylum seekers working here?
There are. I was just looking up this morning the stats. It gives a breakdown from the International Protection Office in relation to the number of applicants, but it doesn't give a breakdown on a monthly basis, but it doesn't give a breakdown on the number of people who are employed there. So I can't be accurate just this morning.
Human rights experts, Paul, say that the Irish system for family reunification is already very slow. So slow, they say, that unaccompanied minors, for example, have aged out. They've reached the age of 18 and above before they can apply to have their families here with them. Will critics say that such an approach to make it more difficult for families to come here to join their families here, will it undermine any prospect of their integration?
Well, the stated aim, as far as I understand, and once again, I haven't seen the memo, is that the number of people coming in under family reunification is going to be reduced. I think it was around sort of 17,000, and I'd have to check that. So that's the import of the changes that are going to be made. And the mechanism is to redefine who can qualify for such family reunification. And any narrowing like that is always going to be controversial. And looking at some of the proposals, at least which have been in the media over the past number of days, the Irish Refugee Council has warned that the proposed changes are deeply alarming. And they say they severely undercut two key pillars of refugee integration, a clear route to citizenship, and the ability to reunite with the family. So I think these measures are going to be looked at very closely, and those types of comments from the Irish Refugee Council are going to be put to the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, once he presents his proposals.
Ireland's share of the total people seeking asylum in the EU last year was tiny. It was less than 2%, 1.8%. Why does Jim O'Callaghan and the government feel the need to tighten the conditions even further?
Well, what they say is they're not going after any one sector, they're looking at everything. So take, for example, he was with the Migration Commissioner yesterday. He was being asked about his broader policies, and he was saying that when it comes to the 60,000 people who are given visas or permission to come each year to study English and English language schools in Ireland, that was something he's looking at, along with the Higher Education Minister, James Lawless. And he himself was saying the number of people coming for asylum is quite small. This is nearly three times the size. And yes, we are going to be looking at it. So the way the minister says is it's a broad view that they're looking at, and they're going to be looking at everything.
Paul, thank you very much indeed. Our political correspondent there, Paul Cunningham, at 7:18.